Hey everybody, I am back. Geek Soul Brother is back with another episode of Your Fandom Fix. This is episode 9. This is episode 9. It's Monday, January 31st. Well, I'm recording for Monday, January 31st. And I'm coming back at you guys. I hope you've been enjoying the episodes. You know, I'm getting used to it a little bit. It's fun. It's always fun for me to jump back on the mic and talk to you guys about different things. I love talking to you about what? Horror, sci-fi, fantasy, all that stuff. I love talking to you guys about that, all the different fandoms. Sometimes comics, sometimes a little bit games. Like I always say, I don't play games a lot, but I am interested in the industry and stuff. But you can find me. You can find me on Spotify. Just look for Geek Soul Brother. Look for Your Fandom Fix or Geek Soul Brother. And favorite it so that you can stay up on the episodes that are coming. And you can also find me on Indie Live Music Radio. It's a digital radio station. It's run by the Urban Socialites. It's urbansocialitesnj.com. And the show itself, the radio station itself, you can find it on tunein.com. My show, Your Fandom Fix, is on Monday nights, usually Monday nights at 6 p.m., so you can tune in there. Again, it's pre-recorded just like this, so, you know, you'll be listening to it on there. It'll be on the radio station, right, 6 o'clock, and you can also listen to it. You can always listen to it on Spotify. You can go back, listen to the archive episodes, stuff like that. Find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You know, I post a little bit. As I said before, I'm posting a little bit more. You know, slowly getting back into the groove and stuff. And, you know, making my presence known. It's coming. It's coming. Big things are coming this year. But I like starting off slow and getting this, you know, kind of getting the show, getting the feet under the show and everything. Getting the feel of it again. It's been a while, you guys. It's been a while since I've been on the mic. So I'm just taking my time getting back into it. But yeah, just find me. If you do find me, shout me out. You know, tell your friends, nerdy friends, that you like it. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. Positive message today. Not too big of a message. I just want to know how you guys are doing since the beginning of the year. As some of you know, if you listen to my previous shows, I had COVID starting out this year, actually New Year, so I was in bed with COVID, and that went okay. I had fever, you know, had a little fever, had a little bit of, you know, headache or whatever, sinus headache, fatigue, some of the regular symptoms that you could get, some of the flu-like symptoms, but hey, it was fine. It definitely wasn't what a lot of other people have suffered. You know, they went to hospital and, you know, different things. So I definitely didn't have a hard time like a lot of other people. But that's how the year started. But I also started talking about the year like a lot of people go to a gym. A lot of people try and do new things. They list goals that they want to do. And I just want to do a check-in. I just want to see how you guys are doing with your goals, going to the gym. I know it's hard going to the gym. From personal experience, I know it's hard going to a gym during the winter time because you got to get up, it's cold, you know, you got to drive to the gym. You don't want to come out cold. And just a word of advice, make sure that you cool down when you're coming out the gym. Don't come out the gym all sweaty and it's like freezing weather out there. Or at least make sure you bundle up. Now, it feels great. I've had times where I went to the gym and it felt great coming out of the gym. You know, that fresh, cold air kind of cooled me down and whatnot. But you can get sick from that. So you have to be careful. You got to wear your hood, make sure your neck is covered. Throughout the winter, you should make sure your neck is covered so you don't get that throat cold. And just watch out. But I'm just you know, checking up on y'all to see where your goals are at, how you're doing. I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I got a couple goals that I want to hit you know, that kind of lined up. But I don't feel too bad. I myself went back to the gym, did a little bit of steps, you know, had some cardio in, did a nice little session of stretching. You know, everybody needs to stretch. I don't care if you're 18 or older, you need to stretch. You need to stretch your body out. You need to stretch your ligaments and, you know, not overstretch, but just keep your body loose. It helps you keep from getting injured. It helps you keep from straining muscles. So my suggestion as a main thing to do physically, not necessarily cardio or strength training, or you guys should really concentrate on some stretching too. Add that to your workout repertoire so that you can avoid the injuries and so forth. But yeah, I hope you guys are maintaining. I encourage y'all to keep going, to, you know, write down all of your goals, break them down into steps, and just, you know, one step a day or one step a week or whatever you have to do. Just you know, it's all about consistency with Geek Soul Brother. That's what I'm focused on this year. I'm focusing on consistency, just doing something over and over again. Don't worry about the results, because the results are going to take care of themselves. Just pick a direction. I'm picking a direction. I'm trying to be a little consistent each day or every few days. Just be a little consistent with it. And that's what I encourage you all to do too. Just be a little consistent and just, you know, keep on with your goals. I want to see you guys win this year. You're always winners anyway. You know, even if you don't hit a goal, you're trying. And that's the most important thing. Anyway, not too much news. IDW, they were talking about IDW was going to lose the rights to, G.I. Joe and Transformers by the end of 2022. I don't know if they can renew it, but, you know, that'd be interesting. IDW is a comic book, independent comic book creator, and they're really good. And some of their stuff has been made into TV shows and, you know, a couple movies here and there, stuff like that. But yeah, they're going to lose the, I guess they're going to lose it. We'll see. And the other thing I saw, a little peep in the news, Jason Momoa is in talks to play a villain, Fast and Furious 10. I thought 10 came out already. I'd lost track of I didn't see the last one either. It's been like a year and I didn't see the last one, but I could have sworn 10 came. I could have sworn that was 10. I guess not. Anyway, Jason Momoa is a villain. He'll play a good villain. He'll, you know, who knows? I don't think he's going to do the Dothraki, you know, type of Game of Thrones villain or nothing like that. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. He'll be interesting enough. You're listening. Let me just give a little shout outs. Again, you listen to Geek Soul Brother. You're a fan of Fix. You also, if you're listening on Indie Live Music Radio, glad you're listening there. If not, you can find us on Indie Live Music Radio. Just go to tunein.com and you'll hear us 6 p.m. live Monday nights. You'll hear it then. So I was thinking of a topic to talk about in this episode, and I don't know if it's going to be an hour episode, but I was just thinking about this topic. Are fandoms, the things that we love, the fact that they're in the hands of companies, and we're relying on the companies to give us the things that we like already, right? Reinterpretations of it, you know, different material, different productions, so forth. We're counting on all these different companies to give us the things that we like and to give it to us in the way that we like it, right? So me growing up, of course, I was reading comics. I was reading Marvel, a little bit DC, but mostly Marvel comics. And I couldn't wait for like a Spider-Man movie or Fantastic Four movie. I didn't even think that they would do Avengers and stuff like that. So I was really excited about that. But as time went by, I started to see some of the companies not handling some of the franchises, some of the material, some of the original material that they want to make movies and TV shows and all that out of. I didn't really gel with some of the stuff that they did, because they were putting it in different people's hands, and they weren't. You guys remember some of the Batmans that came after what do you call it? The Michael Keaton Batmans, the ones after, right? So yeah, Michael Keaton be Batman in 1 and 2, and then you had the other ones. You had Val Kilmer, you had what's his name, and you know, those weren't that great. Those weren't that Clooney. Yeah, Clooney be Batman, and those weren't that great. It was a mishandling of a fandom that I loved and that millions of other people loved. Thank goodness they brought it back with The Dark Knight and stuff like that. So I just want to go over a little bit of how the studios are handling our fandoms, how the studios are treating the things that we love, right? Because there is a fan base. You would think that this is an easy formula. Like, there's already an audience. You don't even have to build an audience for most of these things. There's already an audience there, and yet you guys kind of drop the ball. Some of you companies out there kind of drop the ball and whatnot. Thank goodness we have some visionary people that have taken the reins and really, really brought about some great material, some great shows, some great movies and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I'm just going to jump in a little bit. The first one, of course, and probably the best handling of fandom that we've had so far is the Marvel Disney connection. The Marvel Disney, you know, deal when Disney bought Marvel in what, 2009? Marvel Entertainment came out with Iron Man, and then Disney bought him right after in 2009. And that was the deal. Now, at the time, everybody was afraid that Disney would have their hands in it. You wouldn't see any, everything would be watered down to like a Disney movie type of thing with Marvel, but they didn't. They didn't go crazy, you know, with some of the violence. Now they're talking about doing Moon Knight and, you know, some of the other content that they're making out of Marvel is a little bit more edgier. But everybody was afraid that they were going to water it down, and they didn't. One of the main reasons, I think, they kept Kevin Feige in charge of everything, and he kind of had the vision along with whatchamacallem. I always forget his name. I don't know why. That's it. Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau was the one, again, I'm going to say this, I've said in podcasts before, he was the one that told Marvel they needed to get Robert Downey Jr. to play Iron Man. Like, it wasn't, he had to convince Kevin Feige, I believe, to get Robert Downey. Jon Favreau has as much vision as anybody. That's why they're putting him in charge of, you know, a lot of the Star Wars stuff and, you know, everything like that. Because Favreau's that dude. Favreau's that geek that, you know, that they put in charge. And I think that all these studios do need the Kevin Feige type person that can kind of oversee the vision and keep things on track. Because they've been very successful with Marvel. It's amazing how far they've taken. Nobody saw what was coming. If they had stopped at the Avengers movie, that would have been awesome. That would have been fine with me. And if they moved on to other stuff, but that would have been fine with me. I didn't even need the stones or anything like that. But it was wonderful that they brought this entire, the entire lineup of the Avengers and stuff like that, and the offshoot of the Avengers. They just brought it to screen, and they have so much more to do. Like, these stories could go on for years and years. So I think Disney and Marvel, I think they're probably one of the best representations of a company that's handling our fandom and that's really giving us some stuff that we want to see. They've seldom dropped the ball, and they made so much. They paid $4 billion for the rights of all the Marvel stuff, and they made that back. They made that back already, and they're just going to keep going. So wonderful investment. One thing about Disney is that they have Disney Plus, and they also have this great lineup of Star Wars. Between Star Wars and Marvel, I think they're coming out with like, 30 shows or 50 shows? Pixar too. Pixar has a lot of stuff coming out on, Disney has a lot of stuff coming out about Pixar too. But, the franchises are being handled so well on Disney Plus, and I was reluctant at first to get Disney Plus, but now I'm behind them the way they've been focusing on stuff. Because Disney has not been handling the Star Wars movies well enough for me. Individual movies are fine. The one-off movies are fine. Like Solo, Solo wasn't bad. Rogue One was excellent, one of my favorite sci-fi Star Wars movies. But all in all, like the Skywalker series, no. The Rey Skywalker series, they tried to stick the original stuff and do something new at the same time, and it just didn't work. It did not work for the stuff that they're doing on Disney Plus as far as the series. They're not handling the movies that well for Star Wars, which is amazing. They, like I said, they need a Kevin Feige for Star Wars. They thought they were going to get it with whatchamacallit that directed the new Star Wars, The Force Awakens and stuff. But no, they didn't. They didn't get it. They need somebody that really, and Favreau. I wouldn't be surprised if they put Favreau in that role. Since he's been doing the TV show so well. So they're handling the Marvel fandom fine. The Star Wars fandom they need to work on, but the Disney Plus, they're doing fine. So if they could just bring that energy to the movies, that'd be fine. The problem with Disney Plus, not problem, it's their brand, but you're not going to see any horror stuff from Disney Plus. They're only going to get so deep with that. So we don't have horror. We got a little bit of sci-fi. We got a little bit of we definitely got some fantasy going with Disney and whatnot. Moving to the next one, Warner Brothers. And also you got to talk about Warner Brothers and HBO Max and stuff like that. But Warner Brothers, who I don't know, I forgot when they bought DC Comics. It was a long time ago. They bought DC Comics, and from there on, they really haven't been doing it until somebody came, until Chris Nolan came and did the Dark Knight series. They really were not handling the franchise very well. They really weren't handling the property very well. Back in the day, they did the Superman. That was great. When they did the original Christopher Reeve Supermans, those are great. Then Tim Burton did the first Batman. He did both Batmans, I believe. Both of the first two Batmans. And Michael Keaton played a good role. I didn't think Michael Keaton was good at Batman at first, but then he killed it. And after that, it was kind of dead until Chris Nolan did the Dark Knight series. And even now, we're kind of like, I don't know. WB is just finding their way in the last, I'd say, 5 years. They're just finding their way into how to handle properties for the other movies. Because you got Aquaman. To me, Aquaman was great. Wonder Woman would have been great. Like, that first movie would have been great. But the end of it kind of killed it. And it wasn't the Wonder Woman. The problem is here is that they're not giving the fans what the original material was, you know. And sometimes you can't translate it, but you got fans that love the comics, that love Wonder Woman, love Batman, Superman, all that, all the different characters. And then you get them to the movies and you don't pay attention to what the fans really enjoy. And that's when you have a Wonder Woman that's talking about love instead of, you know, being the warrior that she was in the comics and stuff and beating the villains and stuff. Not you know, not violence, but, you know, beating the villains the way she was trained on Themyscira. And you have, like, this disconnection, which I think WB is starting to reconnect with the audience a little bit. Shazam wasn't bad. Aquaman wasn't bad. You put these great creators at the you know at the driver's seat of some of these movies and shows. Now here, for example, Bruce Timm doing all of the animated stuff or helping with all the anime stuff early on. Some of these great movies, right? I remember it was so great when I saw Batman Mask of Phantasm. It's back in 92. And it was like, you know, it was like a real story. It wasn't just a simple Batman story. It was a real story. And it was enjoyable. And then you had other things. You had the Batman, the animated series. That was great. You had all these series of Batman Beyond coming out. And you had Bruce Timm kind of leading the way early on as to how these franchises should be. You know what tone of it. It's not about putting them on screen. It's about the tone of it. It's about paying attention to the character, what's important about the character, putting them in situations where you can see who they truly are. And I don't know, WB has not been very good at doing some of the movies until lately, right? Zack Snyder, they had to recut Zack Snyder's original, Zack Snyder's Justice League. They had to recut it just to bring the audience back. And that's telling. That is really telling. So, you know, they skip on the movies. They're starting to get better. Hopefully they continue to get better. We'll see more Justice League. We'll see how this Batman comes out. This Robert Pattinson Batman, we'll see how it comes out. You know, that's going to tell us whether DC is kind of, you know, along the steps that they do. But if they can get somebody like a Bruce Timm to oversee the movies, just like they got Kevin Feige, a lot of nerds know that if they can get a DC version of Kevin Feige, then they would be all right, you know, because you had all these movies and stuff. Batman Under Red Hood, you had Hush, Killing Joke, you had all of that was really amazing. What else? HBO Max. So if you're talking about WB, you got to talk about HBO Max, where it's, you know, it's basically WB and HBO teaming up, having their streaming service. How are they handling things? HBO tends to do heavy drama, you know, R-rated, PG-13, R-rated stuff and whatnot. So they're doing that. I think I haven't watched it, but Harley Quinn, you got Peacemaker, you got Young Justice. I don't think Young Justice is heavy on the, I think they're still like PG-13, something like that. But I'm glad that they're back on. I'm glad HBO Max is, you know, redoing that. HBO as a whole, how do they handle our fandoms, right? So I'm a big sci-fi fan. I have loved like stuff like Westworld. They have a few other things that they brought on HBO. Of course, Game of Thrones was their biggest, you know, one of their biggest fandoms that they brought from the books, from the books that Whatchamacallum did. Game of Thrones was great and then kind of fell off in the end. I didn't see the last season because everybody was talking how bad it was, so I didn't hang on to it, but I mean, it was big that they started it. Sorry, guys. It was big that they started it and it turned it into a huge franchise, right? It was like an adult Lord of the Rings, basically. They're doing all right. HBO is doing all right. They have their sci-fi. They have interesting sci-fi. So they're not bad. I would say they're second runner-up as far as doing interesting things in the genres that we like. Like, their dramas are great. the dramas are great. They have HBO be winning Emmys and all of that all the time. But as far as our genre and stuff that we like, HBO's pretty good. Like Westworld was very good, stuff like that. Then WB, you gotta talk about the Arrowverse on CW. Now here's another example of a person that had a vision, didn't even think that it was going to grow into what it did. But Greg Berlanti, he produced the Arrow series and then moved on with Flash, along with all the others, Andrew, was it Kreisberg, Mark Gunningham, Jeff Johns, was it Salim Akil? He did Black Lightning, stuff like that. you had a whole universe getting created on CW. Some of the stuff was good, some of the stuff was okay, but you can't say that it wasn't incredible that they were creating like this whole DC universe on TV, especially the stuff that they couldn't fit into the movies. So then you had the among the nerds and blurs and geeks out there, you had a good following, especially when Arrow came out, and then when Flash came out, Flash was dope. And the fact that they did Flashpoint, they did Crisis on something Earths. They did what they had done in the comics years ago. And it's just incredible that they had these multiverses, they had, you know, different universes, everything coming together way before Marvel started talking about all the multiverses. You gotta give credit to CW and what they did with the Arrowverse. So yes, CW part of WB, but kind of, you know, it was a shame. The sad part was, somebody had asked Greg Berlanti and stuff like that, were you going to be able to bring the Arrowverse, the multiverse, and the CW just in general, were you going to be able to bring them into the movies? And they were like, no, we never got contacted by WB to bring anything into the movies. And I'm like, how could you, looking at the popularity of Marvel, how could you overlook, or how could you overstep such an important move in the properties of DC Comics that you can't connect the TV series? You can't have that Flash come into the movies, because everybody likes that Flash. I don't know about the Flash in the movies. I got, you know, he'll grow on everybody. He grew on everybody in Justice League, but I'm just saying, you can't have whatchamacallit come in as Arrow and play in the movies at some point, do a cameo or something like that. You guys really don't see the benefits of connecting. Maybe it's lawyers, I don't know. Maybe it's some money involved, but you can't see. That's what it is. They want to share money. That's exactly what it is. Sony didn't want to do anything with Marvel for a second until Tom Holland showed them that they could make some money. You know, and now Spider-Man's their biggest movie ever. What are you talking about? You don't want CW doesn't want to work with the no. I'm sorry, not CW. Warner Brothers, the executive at Warner Brothers that do the movies and everything, don't want to work with CW. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So that's what I'm talking about. Like, there's points where these companies aren't handling the fandoms the way the fans would like. You know, the way the fans would like. Let Black Lightning show up as a cameo in the Justice League. Everybody would lose their minds. But they don't want to do that. So, you know what, WB, you don't get 5 stars, man. You don't get 5 stars for CW's done better with all their properties than Warner Brothers has done with their movies, in my opinion. You know, if we're talking about success, you know, success rate, in my opinion, they've done better. They've done more likable, more appreciated properties on CW than they've done there. So, okay. We got Disney that acquired Marvel, and we got Warner Brothers that always, not always had DC, but had DC for a long time, and then HBO grabbed that. And HBO, like I said, they're doing pretty good. They have their own franchises, plus they're doing WB's franchises, so that's, you know, the Harley Quinn, they're getting ready to come out with Batman, another Batman series and stuff, so anime series, so that's not bad. Netflix, they kind of had their chance with Marvel, right? They kind of had their chance with DC and Marvel when they made the Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and then they brought the Defenders. So they basically followed the Marvel movies setup, where they made individual series of each of those characters, and then they brought them together into the Defenders series. Netflix they're in a weird position because they can't do Marvel because Disney started Disney Plus, so everything went to Disney Plus, right? And thank goodness, again, Disney Plus is getting 5 stars, or Disney Marvel is getting 5 stars because they're connecting their properties into one universe, which is what we want to see. Everybody went crazy when they saw somebody. Some of you guys haven't watched Spider-Man. Come on, go watch Spider-Man. But somebody was in Spider-Man, and everybody went crazy. It was from another property. Everybody went crazy. So, that's how you do it. And you know, Netflix doesn't have that anymore. They don't have the Marvel stuff anymore. So what are they to do? They're making Stranger Things. That's what they, you know, they did stuff like Stranger Things. They did Lost in Space. They did Raising Dion season 2. They're coming out, they're buying these other properties that people don't know about, and then they're showing them, and they're like, oh, this is great. The audience is like, this is great. Because Netflix looked like they didn't have anything major as far as the fandoms, right? They didn't seem like they had anything major going on. Now, when I look at it, and I was talking to my boy, shout out to Toby Wan Kenobi. I was talking to him, it made me realize that Netflix is kind of playing around with these game properties and turning them into, you know, into some type of franchise. You had Castlevania, which was excellent. You have The Witcher, which is excellent. You know, you also had a couple of comedy, Lock and Key, and what was that? There's another one from IDW. I think they're both IDW you know, properties and stuff. You had Lost in Space, like I said. Then you had other stuff. You had Black Summer, Kingdom. Kingdom's a great zombie, period zombie piece. That's excellent. Black Summer's excellent zombie piece. And I started to realize, like, Netflix is really good at original sci-fi. A lot of original horror. Like, their niche is kind of like in a horror. They have a good audience when it comes to horror. They had the couple series, where they were talking about the haunted house on Haunted Hill, I think it was, stuff like that. And I've been looking at Area 81. That's an interesting series. So they got some cool stuff happening on Netflix. As far as our genre is concerned, they got the sci-fi. They have a little bit of fantasy. They have some fantasy. That was cool that they did the Dark Crystal. That was really amazing that they did the Dark Crystal. I was excited about that. I do have to finish that too. Geek's Little Brother has problems finishing series. I'm sorry. But you guys, I have a problem. I'll start a series, and then as soon as something else comes, I'm like, oh, that looks awesome. And I'll start watching that. But Netflix, the only thing they don't have is a lot of superhero stuff. But I'm kind of fine with that. If they keep bringing out things like Black Mirror and stuff like that, I'm cool with it. I'm cool that they don't have a big superhero franchise, because you know what? You don't have to have the superhero stuff in order to have good content. Just because the superhero stuff is so popular doesn't mean... Right. So let them do their thing. You go on a different path and you find the niche that fits right for you. Netflix has no problem. So, and you know what? They don't have to. I haven't seen Netflix cross heavily into where HBO has crossed, where they have to have a lot of nudity, a lot of sex and stuff like that. Netflix kind of keeps it low key. They'll go R-rated, but they don't, it's not so much that you feel like it's just gratuitous, you know, it's not gratuitous. And Netflix seems to kind of know where they're at. They got Shonda Rhimes doing, you know, Bridgerton and stuff like that, which is, you know, granted, it's another genre. It's not horror, sci-fi, fantasy, but, you know, it's another genre. And I like how Netflix is letting us have these different things and investing and really, really, they cater. I think they cater well to the sci-fi fantasy stuff. I hope they do some more. They got Mark Millar. They did deal with Mark Millar. They have rights to Millar World. We'll see where that goes. I mean, you know, it could be good. It could work out for him, but whatever. All right, so Amazon is kind of like the fourth one that I'll talk about. Amazon, I feel like they're kind of all over the place when it comes to their sci-fi, fantasy, horror. Like I don't feel like they have a niche in it. Although Wheel of Time, and now, as I talked last week, the Lord of the Rings series that's coming out, that might spell their niche for like a fantasy. You know, HBO's got their fantasy, like I said, Game of Thrones, stuff like that. They even have, what was it? His Dark Materials. It's supposed to be really excellent. So, but Amazon, I don't know. They're kind of, I don't look at them for their horror too much. I don't look at them for their sci-fi. Although they did get the rights for The Expanse, although I think I heard that they're canceling it, so I don't know where that's going, but I don't look at them as big for sci-fi. They're probably going to fall into the, you know, more into the fantasy and the horror. I know they got a nice deal with Blumhouse doing House of Bloom or something like House of Blumhouse, something like that, where they come out with these movies, and they're good. They're good little one-off movies. Blumhouse does, and let's not talk about how Blumhouse has done amazing with the horror content that they, you know, they're a studio within themselves, and they've done an amazing job with horror. They take stories that they see, you know, little stories, and they produce them. And they hit. Most of the time they hit. Not all the time, but most of the time they hit. And I'm like, okay, Blumhouse, keep it up. But Amazon, they're doing a deal with Blumhouse, that's good. They're doing a deal with Robert Kirkman with Invincible, that's great. They have The Boys, which is another, another comic property, which I like. The Boys is excellent, you know? And I believe they're doing an offshoot of The Boys, a little spinoff of The Boys, but I think I talked about it a couple episodes ago. but Amazon, I feel like they haven't found their groove. So I don't know. Let's hope that they keep moving on with it. You know, as far as I would love to see them do a nice space sci-fi, you know, because right now, to me, Netflix does a lot more space sci-fi than Amazon. You know, they had The Expanse, but I feel like Netflix, not just Lost in Space, but they have like several space shows that they really do well. And you know what? We can talk about Apple too. Apple came out the gate running. They started off with they started off the series with Jason Momoa, and that hit the ground running. Like that was out of nowhere. Like, you're not going to start off with any dramas. You're going to start off with this. But they did it, and it made it work. And then I talked to you guys about Foundation, Isaac Asimov's Foundation series. That's incredible space opera, you know? Excuse me, guys. Amazon, I don't know. They got so many, you know, they got their hands in so many things. I don't know. Hopefully this Lord of the Rings can bring it together a little bit. And maybe them canceling The Expanse might want them to make a bigger sci-fi show, a bigger type of space ride. It doesn't have to be space. It could be anything. They're not bad. They got Homecoming. You know, they had, what's her name? Janelle Monáe. They had her in Homecoming and stuff like that. And they got a couple other things, but I think they could push it. I think they could put more. I think they produce more sci-fi if they want to, but they go into fantasy and stuff like that. I'm cool with it. That's fine. Apple TV is doing great. They're doing some other stuff and whatnot. And I don't know. Also, Paramount. Paramount, they have their streaming service now. They started off with something, and then, I don't know, Paramount looks good with the Star Trek, with the Star Treks and stuff like that. They've expanded their Star Trek, you know, remember y'all when they had the Star Treks on, like, UPN and stuff like that? Like, they didn't know what to do. You got Star Trek, you got millions, you got like a billion fans that love Star Trek, but you don't know what to do with this. So now I think they know something. They had a hard time getting Discovery off to, like off the ground. No pun intended. They had Discovery in the development. One of the guys that was directing the show, showrunner, he left, so they had to get somebody else. But I don't know. Discovery might be pretty good. I saw it. I'm like halfway through the first season. There's so much to catch up on. And I really love Star Trek, so I'm kind of kicking myself that I haven't dived deeply into it. But the fact that they're coming out with like three other shows. They got Picard. They got the original thing with Pike, and they have a Starfleet Academy joint. They're doing all right with that, but Paramount, I don't know. They got a lot of stuff that came from their CBS, productions, you know, their CBS shows and their CBS properties. So they might have to step it up if they want to really do some stuff or just keep doing the movies, like keep making like good, you know, sci-fi, fantasy, horror movies, stuff like that. I do want to check out Evil that comes on CBS. That's on Paramount. I do want to check out that. That looks interesting and whatnot. You also have Universal. Universal's not too bad. They really missed the boat. Let me tell you guys something. Universal has the rights to the original monsters, like werewolf, Dracula, mummy, and stuff like that. They were supposed to, somebody, some genius came along and said, hey, you know, we got all these monsters. We could do like an Avengers type setup, but with monsters, you know, like the monsters could be the heroes. And they were supposed to make like this franchise where Dracula and werewolf and all that mummy, they were all supposed to become heroes fighting like worse evil entities, right? And then they were probably going to come together in one. Yo, tell me that wouldn't have been awesome to see all the monsters fighting as good guys, right? Because now we got Sony doing all the anti-heroes, right? We got Venom. What's it coming out? Morbius, stuff like that. We got Sony coming out with these anti-heroes. Tell me that. It wouldn't have been hot to see Universal's original monsters become heroes. You know what they started it out with, although they're not admitting that they did? Dracula Untold. Dracula Untold, and I don't know why you guys didn't like it. I don't know why some of you guys didn't like it, but Dracula Untold, to me, was a good movie. I love that guy. I can't think of his name for a second, but I love the guy that played him. And, you know, they want to say that that wasn't the first movie in this idea of the monsters becoming heroes, but I think it was the first one. The box office didn't make it. So then they had Tom Cruise playing Mummy, right? Now, I didn't even see it. They said it was okay, but it wasn't great. And once my friends start telling me that something isn't that great, I tend to put it on the back burner because, listen, you only got like a word of mouth moment to impress me enough to watch your stuff. Like, somebody's got to tell me, yo, did you catch that? It was hot. And if they're talking about, I don't know if you want to see it, back burner. Push it in back burner. Not saying I don't want to see it, but Tom Cruise's Mummy, they said specifically that that was supposed to be the first in the series of monsters that became heroes. I'm telling y'all, that would have been something different. Geek Soul Brothers all about some unique stuff, and that would have been something unique to see. I would have loved to have seen that. But anyway, Universal, you really dropped the ball with that. What you aren't bad with is the fact that you got, talking about how you handle genres and stuff, you came out back in the day, you came out with Heroes. That was really something different. You've always come out, like NBC always comes out with some interesting things when it comes to like sci-fi fantasy. You know, not too much sci-fi, some sci-fi, but it's like a mix. Like Heroes was sci-fi, but it also felt like a fantasy show and stuff. Grimm, I mentioned to you guys, I know you probably don't remember, Grimm was one of my favorite series that came on NBC. I love that show. It was such a good fantasy show. It wasn't fantasy like Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones type thing. It was like modern day fantasy with the Grimm fairy tales that were inspirations for these horror detective stories. I gotta tell some friends. One of my friends loves detective stuff, and I think she would like that show. NBC does pretty... Manifest came on recently. You know, the show's been on a little while and stuff. But Universal also has, as a property, they also have the Sci-Fi Channel. So they have a lot... They have a lot, and now they got their streaming service, Peacock, which isn't bad. Peacock's not bad. But they got a lot of their properties that came from the Sci-Fi Channel. So they really have, you know, if you talk about Universal really has all the bases covered when it comes to sci-fi, fantasy, and horror. As far as the TV shows, as far as making series and stuff like that. Because they have the Sci-Fi Channel producing everything. Battlestar Galactica is undoubtedly one of my favorite shows ever. 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 Not the old one. The old one was great. But the new one, the new Battlestar Galactica, came in, I think, 2004 or something like that. That fantastic show. And I'm telling you guys, watch it. If you don't like it, I don't blame you. You know, because everybody's got their own thing. But I'm telling you, give it a few episodes, especially if you start off with episode 33. It kind of drops you in the story, but you'll get what it's about. It's the one right after the 6-part miniseries. The episode called 33, that's a good episode to start, and you know, you really check it out. But if you can check out the miniseries as far as getting the setup, that's not bad either. So yeah, Universal has always had some good stuff, and believe me, you guys, I know that I'm skipping a lot of properties that a lot of these studios have, but I'm just trying to give you the feeling of what my opinion is of who is really catering to us and who's just kind of doing it for the money. And that's what kills me the most, who's doing it for the money. Like when WB, like when they put out The Last Matrix, that was obviously a money grab. That wasn't, I didn't like that at all. I didn't appreciate that. I did not appreciate that. Like, you could have done better. But you didn't want to, you know, it didn't even look like it had decent budget to do the Matrix and stuff, you know, so it's whatever. but yeah, Universal's not doing too bad of a job, but it's mostly because they have a separate entity. Like I said, Sci-Fi Channel's doing the brunt of the work when it comes to making the genre stuff for us. But, you know, Universal's not, they're not doing too bad themselves. Sony's hanging in there. I would say Sony's hanging in there. Plus, you know what? They made a move and they bought Crunchyroll. And that was a big move. If you talk about genre, you bought a whole genre. you bought a whole genre as in anime. You bought all the anime and now it's owned by Sony. So Sony's kind of doing their thing. And like I said, they help with the Spider-Man. Thank goodness they made a deal with Marvel. They put out Spider-Man, did a great job. They did Venom, did a pretty decent job with Venom. They're doing Morbius. I think Morbius is going to hit. And if Morbius hits, then they're going to do a bunch of other things. And if they can bring, like, Marvel already saw, you got it. Again, if you guys didn't see Spider-Man, I'm sorry, but you know, Marvel connected more characters into the Marvel universe, right? Into the Marvel Cinematic Universe from Sony. So we can see Morbius, we can see Venom, we can see, you know, these, and we can see these villains. We could see these villains show up in Marvel movies, you know? Could you imagine if they brought Osborn in to help Bruce Banner figure out something? That would be crazy. Because they, when you think about it, they both have their, you know, split personalities and stuff. So that would be interesting to see, like, Sony bring their properties into Marvel more. But Sony's not doing too bad. They're not doing great. But they're, as far as our genre stuff, like, Sony does fine. Sony's got gaming, they got the PS, and that's another thing. Sony has the PlayStation, the PlayStation company, so they're really handling that genre within itself perfectly. You know, they got this incredible console, and they got a lot of games going towards it, so. In that respect, they're holding their own when it comes to genre and stuff like that. Movies, okay. TV, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that Sony does TV-wise that helps out. I believe they own Crackle also, so they got a couple properties on Crackle. But, yeah, it's not really. I think the one thing I saw was a zombie franchise that they got on Crackle and stuff. So that's kind of interesting, but... All in all, also the network TVs, which are owned by these companies and stuff, they're not doing too bad with some of the, I haven't watched like TV in a minute because I'm catching up to all the series, all the streaming services and stuff like that. But yeah, they're doing all right. But all in all, I would say firsthand, I would say Disney Plus is doing a great job. They just need to step it up when it comes to Star Wars. I know it's hard. It really is hard to come up with these compelling stories that are attached to these properties that are 20, 30, 40 years old. But Disney has been... When Disney lets people who know what they're doing and who love the properties, when Disney and when some of these other companies put the properties into the hands of people that love it, they know what to do. They know what to do. And so far, I think Disney's been good because of Marvel, and Disney Plus has been good because of what Marvel and what, like I said, what Jon Favreau did and what they're doing with the, you know, with the Marvel stuff and whatnot. I'm telling you, Jon Favreau should really think about putting him in front as far as the Star Wars stuff. But anyway, yeah, you listen to Geek's Old Brother, and this is your Fandom Fix. And I just want, I know I rambled on and on, but I hope you got, I just gave you guys some food for thought, something to discuss. You know, it's not going to change the world. It's not going to change the price of bread. The stuff that I talk on here, unless it's some social, I do like to talk about my social issues and, talking about the underdog, talking about the disenfranchised, talking about the people that are not being treated on this world properly. I do like, and there's plenty of, like, we could do 10 podcasts about how people aren't treated properly. It's, pray for Ukraine, pray for people around the world that are just getting beat down by, all these different powers and stuff. But the fandom stuff, it's not going to change the price of bread. It's not going to, it may bring world peace. I mean, I think I have a pleasant attitude. So, yeah, I think if we all, we all can talk about what's better, Star Trek or Star Wars, get into arguments about that. But I think our love of fandoms brings us together. And that's why I think it's so important when these companies hold power over the fandoms that we love, because they could be bringing us together. You know, it's not their job. Their job is to make money. But the production of the fandoms could be bringing us together and really letting us enjoy something together in unity, right? Like, we can't all agree with stuff. And I love a good geek argument. I love a good blurred argument, nerd blurred argument, But all in all, it just brings... I love when my friends tell me, to watch something, or I tell them to watch something, or we can all talk about something and get excited about it. And we all come from different backgrounds, but we all can find a common place with these fandoms. That's what the whole thing is. We're fans. We're all fans from different places. And I know we got to beat down racism. We got to beat down sexism. There's a lot of, there's still too much gatekeeping in our neck of the woods. There's too much gatekeeping. There's too much of one group of people trying to tell the other group of people what they can like or what they can do with their fandom. You know what? Screw that. And just go jump somewhere, because we're all in this. We're all enjoying fandoms together. And if we get over that, of course we can all, just have a good time, enjoy each other's company, enjoy each other's conversation, and not be separated. But when you have these companies that kind of mishandle things, the only thing we can do is come together and rant about it. And that's not the right energy that we want. So yeah, it's important for the companies to come together and really bring us together. Again, not their job, but they can do it. You've been listening to Geek Soul Brother, and this is my podcast, Your Fandom Fix, where I hope you get a fix of good, love of fandom, and we can just talk about different things. Again, I don't know what I'm gonna talk about next week. I came up with this topic, a few days ago, and I tried to prepare. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know I miss a lot of different properties that the companies have, but it's what it is. Background music, give shout outs to James McJimmy, aka Walker Brothers Crafts. You can find him on Instagram. Go check out his sneakers, are really good. He does some interesting sneakers, takes them apart, put them together and stuff. Also, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I like all three. I huge following on Twitter. I really want to get back into that. Instagram is my thing. I love looking at that. Also, find me on Patreon/ Geek Soul Brother. Drop a dollar in there. I really appreciate it. And just shout me out. You can shout me out and stuff. And just let you know, your Fandom Fix, owned by Geek Soul Brother brand, all rights reserved. And that's it. This is episode 9. I really appreciate you guys listening. And, just keep it moving. Keep it moving. And really just the rest of the week, man, just enjoy yourselves. stay on your goals and have a good time. Go hang out with your friends and family. You know, talk to them about fandoms and let them know, you know, that these companies better handle things just right. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.